In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Behold, my servant whom I uphold. I will tell of the decree. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage. You shall break them with a rod of iron. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Serve the Lord with fear. For His wrath is quickly kindled. Glory be to the Father. I'm sorry. And to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, as now and forever. Amen. Behold, my servant whom I uphold.
Take us away the sin of the world. Receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For Thou art holy, Thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, Most High in the way of the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us bow in prayer. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our first reading comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, the visit of the Magi. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him, and assembled all the chief priests and the scribes of the people. He inquired of them where the Christ was to be born, and they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the Magi secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring word to me that I too may go and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures, and they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord, all nations, for great is his steadfast love towards us. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Our epistle reading this morning comes from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Are we to continue to sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory to thee, O Lord.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest upon him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord. And let us join together in reciting our faith by reciting the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Bring our ransom soul.
Well, today I'd like us to look at, you know, the sixth was when we recognized the visit of the Magi, so I'd like to focus on that today. So we're going to look at our first scripture with the Magi coming. And I want us to think about several things, but one is, you know, the following of the star. This is an interesting passage because it's kind of an ambivalent passage, actually. We've, like a lot of things with Christmas and the Christmas season, we kind of have built up a lot of certain traditions and things that aren't necessarily scriptural, or, you know, they're kind of fudging on things. And the Magi is one of those things because, yeah, you know, we just kind of take it for granted, like we have our nativity scenes, you know, with the shepherds and the Magi and everybody all together. And yet, when you read the scriptures, that's not really quite what it's saying. And so I want us to think about the Magi. Okay, so let's go ahead and look at our passage. Jesus, having been born in Bethlehem in Judea during the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Okay, interesting. You know, you remember with the when Jesus is actually born, you remember that when he's born, the angels appear to the shepherds out in the fields and announce the birth of Jesus to them. And then they hear the announcement of the angels and they obey this announcement. They go and look for the Christ child and they find the Christ child, of course, because God has told them about this wondrous birth, right? And so God specifically told these humble, lowly shepherds about the birth of the Messiah. But here, this is kind of interesting, isn't it? These are Magi, and they, you know, it's sometimes translated as wise men, and then we have sometimes in culture wrongly called them kings. What the word actually is that's used in the scripture is Magi, and it's where we get our word for magic from, or magician. And what Magi are Zoroastrian priests in Persia and that area. That's the specific definition of what that is. So one of their functions is they're astrologers. They're watching the heavens. So, you know, we often think of the star that appeared as being this bright thing up in the sky, you know, but it kind of looks like nobody else is really noticing or paying a whole lot of attention. It's just these Magi. That's what they do. They watch the skies for portents. You know, so God just doesn't speak to them. You know, so nowhere does it say God spoke to them. They're just doing their astrology thing, it looks like, and so they then eventually set out for Jerusalem. And you notice that's one difference between them and the shepherds too. The angels tell them where to go, and they go. So they go to Bethlehem. But here, you know, the Magi, they set off from, we assume, somewhere in Persia or that area, a long ways away, and they set off for Jerusalem, the traditional capital of Israel. Because where would you find a king? Well, you're going to find a king in a palace, right? So they now, interestingly, at this point, Jerusalem is no longer technically the capital of Israel, because King Herod the Great is called King Herod the Great because of what a builder he was. He built a new capital, Caesarea Maritima, on the coast, and that's the new capital. But he also has grandiose palaces all over the place. He's built a brand new grandiose palace in Jerusalem too. And he's got a number of palaces, fortress palaces all over Israel. So the Magi, they go to Jerusalem. The king is there. They ask him, "Well, you know, we're here to see the new baby." "What new baby?" Yeah. And of course it says Herod and all of Jerusalem is troubled by this news. And there's good reason for that in a way, because Herod is not the rightful king from a biblical standpoint, is he? He's not of the line of David. He actually had to kind of, he's basically a usurper. He took over Israel. He was appointed king by Caesar and by the Roman Senate, and then he had to go conquer the place with the help of Roman troops. And his whole reign, he's worried about somebody trying to overthrow him, and he's rather ruthless, completely in character with what we see in the Gospels, isn't it? That he even kills some of his children, one of his wives, because he's afraid they're plotting against him. Whether that's true or not, probably was true. But so that he's deathly afraid of somebody being born Messiah, being born the King of the Jews. He's deathly afraid of this. And so and then all the people that would be supporting him or anything in Jerusalem and elsewhere would be upset by this news also. So you notice, so that's the thing to think about, is that God never actually told the Magi to go. And then they go and visit this guy, Herod. And they ask him, well, the baby's not here. Where should we go then? And then it's Herod who sends them to Bethlehem. But first Herod finds out when the star appeared. And it looks like, you read later down, it looks like the star must have appeared 2 years earlier, or up to 2 years earlier. But he sends them to Bethlehem and says, oh, well, go find this child, and when you found him, come back and let me know where the child is so that I can go worship him. Uh-huh, sure. Right. The Magi, of course, now one of the interesting things, though, is that the star does look like the star here in verse 9. The star they had seen in the east went before them until it stopped over where the child was. Well, that's kind of interesting. I kind of wonder what's going on there. It looks like it's kind of moving or kind of directing them. They find the child and the mother. They find Mary and Jesus. And so then they do worship the newborn king, the Messiah, the anointed one. And just a side note here, that I don't remember if I've said this before, but you have to remember that the word Christ and Messiah and anointed one all mean identically the same thing. So if it says Christ, if it says Messiah, if it says anointed one, that's one-to-one. It's just different languages. But it's all means the same thing. So it's the newborn anointed one, as in king. So they go and they present gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that's one of the interesting things too, when you think about the story, that we always think of three kings. And technically, the Bible doesn't say three; it just says the Magi, plural. But we get the three from the fact that there were three gifts. So maybe we assume there's three. There might have been three. There might have been two. There might have been ten. We don't know how many Magi there are, definitively, because the Bible doesn't tell us that. But there's three gifts, and of course, people have made quite a bit out of the gifts, and maybe rightfully so, because it's gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These are would be traditional gifts for a king, for instance. But they also can. You can interpret them as things about Jesus, aren't they? Because these are precious things, and frankincense, that's something you use for worship of God in the temple. So you can think of that as his priestly office. You can think of the gold as being something that marks his kingship, and you can think of the myrrh as something for his burial. So three aspects of Jesus, and that may be correct. But then, I don't know. The thing is that then they have a dream that warns them not to go back to Herod, and to instead go back home another way. And so that's what they do. And then, of course, we know we didn't read that part, but Herod, of course, then when they don't come back to him, he's upset, and he decides he's going to do away with all the children in the vicinity of Bethlehem under 2 years of age. So that would seem to suggest that when the star first appeared was probably up to 2 years before. So Jesus may have been as much as 2 years old. And then as a result, Joseph and Mary are told to flee with Egypt. Or to Egypt, with the child to escape this. But this is a good principle. There's a wonderful principle here that we should learn here. And it's one that's repeated in the scriptures a number of times. Is that you look at the fruit of something. You judge whether something is good or bad by its fruit. And I'm afraid that when you look at the Magi, the fruit isn't very good in a lot of ways. Now, it's good that they come and worship God, come and worship Jesus. But the fruit is that Herod comes and destroys the children of Bethlehem, and Jesus and Mary and Joseph have to flee and go into exile to go to Egypt. And so that might suggest that it's not such a good thing. They're not listening to God. And it's maybe a lesson for our own lives, because we're kind of tempted to follow our own stars sometimes. We follow our own machinations and our own ways of thinking so much of the time. And we can really get ourselves fouled up by doing that, can't we? Because what we really need to do on everything is to follow the Word of God in our lives. You notice that God speaks to the shepherds and they obey. The angels, God's angels, repeatedly speak to Joseph and to Mary throughout this whole process. It's not just the angel appearing to Mary to announce that she's going to give birth to Jesus. It's not just that. The angels appear to both of them on multiple occasions throughout this whole process here. And they obey God. And that's really a lesson for us because there's two primary ways to know God's Word, aren't there? Number one, the most important one, is God's Word, the written Word, right? Reading the Scriptures. But number two, God can speak to us in different ways. I suspect it's audibly, an audible voice or an angel. But certainly God can speak to us in various ways, even circumstances or the voice of other, for instance, mature Christians. We can hear the Word of God. But, of course, whenever we hear that kind of Word, we always have to test that against the Scripture, right? And if the two are in agreement, then that would seem to be the thing to do, right? On the other hand, if what you think is God's voice in whatever form it conflicts with the Bible, conflicts with the written Word, you better not do it. Why? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He doesn't say one thing 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, whatever, and then all at once say, oh, sorry, changed my mind. No. That's not how it works. But it's terribly important that we are listening for God's voice, both in our lives, in our experience, and especially in the written Word of God. And that is how we must live our lives, is hearing God's voice, listening for God's voice, and making our decisions accordingly instead of following our own stars or following our own machinations or our own things, because I swear the world is always looking for some little magic bullet, some way to figure out what to do. And so much of the time, even we as Christians fail to really listen to God, listen to His voice and read His Word and really do things that way. And yet it's crucial, because when we do that, when we're in God's will, the fruit is good, right? The fruit is always good. But if we do things in a way, and we're listening for other voices, following our own stars, it may seem like the thing to do. How many times is that? We think it's the right thing to do, and yet the fruit ends up being bad, and we regret that we've done that. So let us be like Mary and Joseph or the other apostles, Paul, who really were listening for God's voice and obeyed. Amen. Let us worship God with the giving of our tithes and offerings. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For all the baptized that having been united to Christ's death and resurrection through water and the Word, we may be strengthened by the Holy Spirit and equipped with His gifts to live the new life given us by God's gracious act, let us pray to the Lord. For all who proclaim Jesus Christ, that through their godly message, many would repent of their sins and join Him in His heavenly kingdom. Let us pray to the Lord. For families, that the Lord would bless all parents, especially mothers, to joyfully acknowledge the gifts of spouse, children, and home. And for the elderly, the widowed, and the orphaned, that our Heavenly Father would show forth His grace to them so they would not feel alone. Let us pray to the Lord. For the rulers of the nations, Lord, we especially lift up to you our own land and, Lord, the leaders that are in places where they have special decisions that they need to make. We pray that your hand would be upon them. We lift up to you the situation with wars around the world and many other difficulties and calamities, that the leaders would submit to the preaching of God's word and acknowledge Jesus as the Christ and the true King. Let us pray to the Lord. For those threatened by natural disasters, dangerous weather, pestilence, flood, or famine, that our God who created the heavens search them out, who spread out the earth, and what comes from it would provide all that is needed for this body and life. Let us pray to the Lord. For those in need of healing and deliverance, Lord, especially this day, we do lift up to you everyone on the prayer list. We remember Annie Mae, Glenn, Cynthia, Pastor Scott and Judy, Katie and Violet, Sandra and Robert, Alfred, Jeff, Cheryl, Dean, Barbara, Scott, Bob, Don and Donna, Robert and Donna, and all the other people, Lord, that we have in our hearts and on our minds that we have not named, all the other concerns, that God would provide healing, restoration, and justice according to His good and gracious will, and that He would cause us to rejoice in the everlasting faithfulness of Christ, His servant, who preserves the bruised reed and the family or the faintly burning wick. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who partake of Holy Communion today, that living as those who have been crucified with Christ in baptism and raised to newness of life, we would receive with repentant hearts his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have called your church from every tribe and nation. Grant that your people throughout the world would rejoice in the death and resurrection of Christ and live as those who have died and risen with him in holy baptism through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. It is truly good, right, and salutary. Oh, I'm sorry. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for at his baptism your voice from heaven revealed him as your beloved Son, and the Holy Spirit descended on him, confirming him to be the Christ. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new testament of my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Welcome to the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take and eat the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you to life everlasting. Go in peace. Welcome to the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take and eat the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you. take and drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you to life everlasting. Go in peace. Take and eat the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you to life everlasting. Go in peace. Take and eat the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you to life everlasting. Go in peace. Take and eat the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you to life everlasting. Go in peace. Take and eat the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you to life everlasting. Go in peace. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us bow in prayer. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love towards one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
child of hope is born, to us a son is given. On his shoulder ever rests all power in earth and heaven, all power in earth and heaven. His name shall be the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Lord, the wonderful Counselor, the God by all adored, God by all adored. Next on judgment and on justice based,